We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
You're tuned to KDWA 1460 AM, 97.7 FM, and this is Community In Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have on the phone with me Community Development Director for Hastings, John Hinsman. Good day, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Even though we have a pandemic going on and racial tensions going on all over the place, the city of Hastings still continues to move forward with regular and normal business. And today what I'd like to talk about, John, is just a little bit of what community development is overseeing and what's going on in town.
Sure. It is interesting. I mean, with everything going on and life changing, we have seen increases in a lot of areas and development within the city. When you take a look at the situation with the pandemic and people being at home, we've seen an increase in the number of building permits to do remodeling. The number of pools that we've done over the summer here has been through the roof. So people are making improvements to their facilities at home. You know, they can't spend the money in other forms of entertainment, and they seem to be making investments within their home to do certain things. And when I talk to my peers in other cities, it seems like that's pretty consistent across. So we're seeing people do that. From a development standpoint, starting last fall and into the spring, we started to see an uptick in interest as far as development within the city. We spent a long period of time after the recession in having lower building permit numbers and lower development residential-wise coming into the city. And we were questioning, you know, why wasn't that occurring, and really couldn't come up with a very good answer on that one. But when we look at what's been happening lately, we've seen an uptick in that. There was some concern that when COVID struck, that might dull things, but it certainly has not. And so we're in a stage of development right now where we're seeing a lot of things that are in the hopper for approvals and in the near future, and construction coming on from there. So we have projects that have been approved for construction, which include a new senior housing complex at the Schoolhouse Square, which is by Green Mill. That'll be 90 units of affordable, independent living senior housing that should be under construction next year. We also have another senior facility on County Road 47, a little bit different. This one would be more of a care facility and independent living, kind of a dichotomy of both of those. That is something that we think will come forward this fall for review and approval for construction next year as well. So we have those two things. We've had two new apartment complexes under construction that have opened up in the last year or two. And then from a residential standpoint for single family, we have two new developments coming forward as we speak. We've got the Villas at Pleasant, which is a 32-unit senior-oriented villa complex. This is really intended for empty nesters and seniors living. That would be at the northwest corner of Northridge Drive and Pleasant Drive. And then we have a project on General Stephen Drive, just south of Seas Church, which would be 116 new homes. These would be 58 single-family homes and 58 of what's termed the villa homes, which are more of a single-family detached product on a smaller lot. And so both of those two projects went forward to our planning commission last Monday and are continuing to move forward. So those projects could see shovels turning dirt yet this fall as well. On top of that, we continue to see interest from other people that are looking at future developments elsewhere. So we've had a very strong interest and applications come forward from a residential standpoint. When you take a look at the numbers between going into the last year or two and moving forward with projects, from what we've seen constructed recently and what's in the hopper, I mean, this could be another 500 units within the city, which is a substantial number.
All right. And I remember hearing something probably last year at this point, as far as community development goes. Was there any talk of adding area to the city? Were you going to, I forget the term, it just popped right out of my head, where you annex other parts of communities. Was that, what's the status on that?
Yeah, actually the last project, the Sieben Ridge project, is an annexation. What an annexation is the adding of land that's within the township surrounding the city into the city limits. So this would be a 40-acre piece that's currently in Ninninger Township that would be added to the city and developed. That would be 116 new family lots that would be developed there.
All right. And with the addition of the residences that are, you know, the planned unit construction and all the things going on, that really does tend to add a lot to the tax base of the city. And that also then works into kind of keeping costs down per resident for things that the city provides. Explain that one a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when you take a look at residential growth, I mean, it's going to bring in new taxes. These properties will require new services as well. But you have a larger pool in which to distribute the cost for those facilities to occur. And the other thing, too, is from a school standpoint, the numbers within the Hastings schools have been down the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And bringing in new homes and the construction of these senior facilities, which would make existing homes within Hastings available to new families, will help to bring the numbers in the school district.
All right. And residential development, while it is important for the survival of the city, is not the only thing that is being overseen by community development. Give us an update on what's going on down at the Confluence.
Yeah, at the Confluence, you've seen a lot of activity over the last couple of months there, and it's great to see. Well, as far as what's been happening, you're seeing a lot of work on the exterior of the building right now, primarily with the roof being replaced. There's been some windows that have been removed for refurbishment. And they're going to be working shortly on brick tuck pointing to repair the brick portion of the building. So that's something that's been occurring the last couple months and will continue on into the winter time to basically shore up the facility so that they can do interior work during the winter. When you saw the street closure a couple of weeks ago into the facility, that was more for utilities that would come in. So all the new utilities have been brought in. The site grading is about complete on site. You've noticed that the new overlook platform has been constructed and open to the public. Some of the landscaping has been done there as well. The area for the overlook along Lock and Dam Road has been cleared out. So a lot of great improvements down there right now. So we'll see the construction go through the wintertime into 2021 and have things opening up there towards the latter part of 2021.
I also understand, and forgive me if my memory is a little bit garbled on it, but I know there was concern with the council on some of the delays for that having detrimental effects on financing and completion dates. Is the city of Hastings still kind of got any oversight on what's going there, or has that been completely signed off and now is with the developer?
Yeah, well, the developer has control of the site now. And when we had purchased the building from Hudson, we financed these through what's called tax increment financing bonds. And so we have payments that are due on that. The payments will decrease upon construction of the building. So even though we've sold the building, we're still have debt payment obligations for the original acquisition of it. And so the delay of the project meant that we were paying more money out towards that. With this year, with actual work constructing on it, our TIF bond payments will be reduced because there has been improvements on the property, and upon completion of it, it should be down to nothing.
Okay, and so the city is basically hands off at this point, and just, you know, it looks like it's going to be an excellent facility. The work is going on very quickly and very well.
Yeah, it's been something we've all been looking forward to for a long time.
I think so. And that's been kind of a rather contentious road for the city council and the developers with the delays and dealing with various historical societies and regulations there. You guys should be commended for sticking it through and making it work.
Well, we've had a lot of great partners in that too. I mean, that whole project, we were able to take in almost $5 million in grants from various agencies for environmental cleanup and construction of amenities. So there's a lot of people with interest in this project through their grants and contributions.
And we have a few minutes left, and what I'd like to concentrate at this point is we have a number, you've mentioned it already, we have a number of projects already either in the works or shovels in the ground doing work. What is the direction that community development wants to see after, you know, what are we looking for, say, a couple, 3 years down the road? And in there, if you could talk a little bit about the 316 project, if you still have any oversight on that.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at my crystal ball over the next couple of years. I hope that housing and commercial development remain strong. We haven't seen a lot on the commercial side. I think a lot of it may be COVID-related right now and sure. People's hesitancy. But the interesting thing about that is, you know, we've got the potential of 4 new restaurants opening up here in the next couple of months, which you, when you think about COVID and the restrictions placed on businesses, is kind of a head scratcher. But I think that's good news. Mm-hmm. And when I look into the future here, I'd like to see more on the commercial end of it. On Vermilion Street, we've done great planning over the last couple of years. I'd like to be able to see something happen there and have us have a role to make something happen on that. When you take a look at Highway 316, there's still a funding gap that we're trying to fill, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to have the state of Minnesota assist us in that. In talking to our legislative leaders, it sounds like it's a high priority among their leadership to get that thing finalized so that we can make those improvements.
All right, and going back a little bit to the Vermilion Corridor, is there still an active group kind of championing that cause? I know there were public information sessions going on, and that seems to have kind of dropped off a bit. Did that get moved to a back burner kind of status?
You know, with the Vermilion plan, we haven't spent as much time on it actively as we would have wanted to over the last couple of years. And so when it's something that we plan to put more on the front burner here because we had other things that had come up that took a little bit of a back seat, but it still remains a priority.
All right. And that's more than just resurfacing the thoroughfare there, the Vermilion Street. I believe there's a plan for renovation of properties along the sides, maybe reimagining how the whole area, curb appeal would be a good way to put it, the curb appeal of the whole area. What are they hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, with the plan that we did about 2 years ago, it was more of an economic development plan in which we identified areas that were ripe for redevelopment and came up with some scenarios of what that redevelopment might look like. In this situation, we would be working with private property owners to see if this is something that they would be looking to do. We're not in a position of going out there and knocking on someone's door and saying, we're the city, we're here to help, and we're going to do this to your property. It's more of a vision where people who own property may be looking to do something different. And what would that be? This is the vision for it. And there might be likely a role for us in providing some financial assistance to make that happen.
Is there any feedback on access to, say, businesses? That tends to be a pretty busy thoroughfare at any given time during the day. And I know from personal experience, I'm always looking for an intersection with a stoplight to make a left turn.
It is. Vermilion Street is so busy that, you know, some of the laws that you usually have with retail development kind of turn on their head a little bit. I mean, retailers love traffic.
Yep.
But when you look at Vermilion Street, it's almost too much sometimes. And the access to Vermilion Street, you know, when I talk to a lot of business owners that have multiple accesses, and they're looking at redevelopment or some other improvements, they're looking to take some of them out just because of they understand the confusion of the whole corridor. So, but from a traffic standpoint and a construction standpoint, we're just on the very beginning stages of working with MnDOT on a major reconstruction project of 61 to be coming up in the next a few years or so, probably at least 3 years out, 4 years out from here. So there, we're going to be probably over the next year, MnDOT's going to choose a consultant and start doing some planning on what that's going to look like from a transportation standpoint. So this will be very interesting.
I'm personally kind of curious. I know there was some discussion back and forth about the east end of Todd Field where that sidewalk was collapsing under the wall. You know, you got issues like that. There's a bit of contention on who actually is responsible for repair on that. It's going to be interesting to watch.
It will be.
All right. We've got about a minute left, John, and what I'd like to do is give you an opportunity to provide some contact information if people have questions or concerns about what's going on with community development in Hastings.
Absolutely. I'm happy to talk to folks about what's going on or if they have ideas on how to make things better. My name is John, J-O-H-N, Hinsman, H-I-N-Z-M-A-N. I can be reached at 651-480-2378. And my office is the old courthouse building in City Hall.
Excellent. And for those that like doing things online, you also have an email link at hastingsmn.gov in the staff directory.
All right.
Exactly. We have been sitting and talking with Community Development Director John Hinsman for Hastings. John, I'd like to thank you for your time today.
Not a problem.
You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7.
In this ever-changing world, always remember that KDWA has been serving you since 1963, bringing you daily news, sports, weather, obituaries, and community events that you need to know. KDWA, AM 1460 and 97.7 FM, and online at kdwa.com. KDWA is your only daily media in the area, and we're here for you.
Did you know that by recycling, you are providing jobs for a total of 19,000 Minnesotans? Recycling reduces the need for more landfills, minimizes climate change, and creates jobs. If you're not recycling, learn how you can start. If you are, learn how you can recycle more at home and at work. We can all recycle more. Your neighbor will thank you. Your grandkids will thank you. To learn more about recycling, visit recyclemoreminnesota.org. Again, that's recyclemoreminnesota.org. See what a difference you can make.